Proverbs 27 and verse number 17. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Proverbs 27, verse number 17, one of God's proverbs, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Heavenly Father, help us to understand this as fully as we can. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would be wise, Lord, in surrounding ourselves with people that keep us sharp and sharpen us. And may we be a source of encouragement and help to those around us. Lord, help us to be better people, Lord, for what we're going to hear tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I enjoyed our men's retreat, and I appreciate the nine of us, the eight men that accompanied me up to Minnesota. I want to say a thank you to Brother Josh Davis. He put a lot of work and effort and into the planning of this. And we came up with the idea. We figured it out and picked a date. And then I just basically said, Josh, it's yours. Plan it out. He did a really wonderful job. And I want to thank his wife. Good night. You sent so much food up there. There was no danger of us starving to death. And I loved especially the detail again. She even made cookies that were in the shape of fish and iced them. Of course, honey, on the diet. Well, my wife's not here. Never mind. I was going to lie about not having eaten any of them because I'm trying to stay on this diet that's going to get my A1C down. And most of the time, I'm very good at that, but I can't say I exactly did real good on this trip, but amen, here we go. But I want to say this to the guys that went on the trip with me, and I think they would say the same. I feel like that I came back better for being on that trip, and I got to watching that whole thing as God gave us the time up there, and we've got to spend some time in the vehicles traveling. It was quite a ways up to northern Minnesota. And then, but even that time was good time of fellowship and interaction. We had some fun and talked about the things of the Lord and challenged each other. And then especially enjoyed having different one of the men challenge us in opening the Word of God. You know, I preach a lot and I teach a lot. I can't tell you how much fun it was for me to just sit as the pastor and have some of these other men step up and open the Bible and just open their heart and share something that God gave to them. Brother Josh brought an axe with him. And when you got that axe, your wife to bring that axe, I thought, man, this campground must be a lot more rustic than I thought. We're going to have to go out there. We're going to have to cut down trees. We're going to have to build a cabin. We're going to have to get our firewood. And it was almost that rough. It was real close to being that. I mean, we barely survived. Very, very rustic. Man alive. I mean, it was hard to choose of the 17 pillows that was on my bed, which one was exactly the. Yeah, we roughed it pretty bad, but. But he brought that axe and he began to talk about the Word of God and how the Bible refers to the axe, and he gave a devotion on that. Man, it was powerful as he just sat there and talked about, you know, we don't sharpen our axe, and because of that we put all of this human effort and we're not really making much progress, and how just spending time in the Word of God and spending time with the Lord sharpens us. And then he developed that on, and it was good. I spent most of the rest of the day fishing, just taking that thought and just You know what it did, folks? It sharpened me. It sharpened me. Brother Nathan spoke on the matter of faithfulness, and I appreciated it. It was good. It was powerful. But I think sometimes when somebody who is ultra faithful speaks on faithfulness, that it just carries more weight. And then Brother Dively, he opened the Word of God, really challenged all of us, but really spoke to the young men that were there. And just talked about his wife and just said, you know, how even when he was unsaved, when he met his wife and married his wife, and yet even back in hindsight, he could see how God protected him, brought the right person, and just how important it is to wait for the right one. And when you have a wife, to cherish her and take care of her. And it was just wonderful to just have him open his heart and tell some stories and just... You know, I was challenged. I wanted to come back and be a better husband. And you know what he did? He sharpened me. And folks, listen to me. This whole idea about being a lone ranger, and I don't need to interact, and I don't need the church, and I don't need fellowship, and I don't need. I can sit at home, I can listen on the radio, I can read my Bible by myself. Let me just say this. What we need to do is just believe God's word. You know, the Bible says here, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And I brought a knife with me tonight, and this is one that Brother Tony Wood coached me. This is the very first knife that I made. And I always tell everybody this is about 80% Jerry Ross and about 20% Tony Wood, because every time I just about mess it up, he'd grab it out of my hand and say, I'm going to save you right now, and he'd fix something I did wrong. But anyway, this was exciting to me. And I went over to Missouri, and he'd been talking about, he'd gotten into knife making, Tony has, and he's, I mean, good night. What I make is horrible. You ought to see what he's producing. I mean, this guy is gifted in this area and makes beautiful knives. And but he wanted to have me and Brother Castle come over. Jay Reed drove up from Atlanta, Georgia. And you imagine Tony Wood, Jay Reed, Doug Castle, and Jerry Ross in a knife shop for 2.5 days. Yeah, that was fascinating stuff right there. You say, preacher, why? Oh, I wanted to learn how to make a knife. Yeah, but I also wanted to get sharpened. I plan a couple times a year to sneak off, not to where to preach somewhere, but just to set somewhere. Brother Joe just told me about a camp meeting that he went down and attended, and it wasn't one that he preached at, but he got preaching and how he came back so excited and encouraged just because. And it's not just the preaching, folks. It's the interaction. It's the fellowship. It's sitting across the table at a meal and talking to another Christian. And these after-service fellowships, folks, there's a reason we do these things. There's a reason we have the things that we have around here. And, you know, if you participate in them, you're going to be sharper. If you don't, then you miss out on a blessing. And, you know, I'm here to police what everybody does. You've got to make choices of how involved you are at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But I think some of you are missing out on some things that you ought to be included in. And make more of an effort to interact with the right kind of people. And the Bible's talking about this idea of iron sharpening iron. And, you know, I want to talk to you about that. You know, one of the things that I spent some time with Tony with was not just making a knife, but to really have him teach me how to put a proper edge on a knife. Him and Jay are very good at this, so I sat down with both of them a little bit. And if you're going to put an edge on it, you can make a knife, but that doesn't make it sharp. The last step that you take in the knife making process is to put an edge on it, to sharpen that knife. And the only way you can sharpen it is you've got to get a piece of iron that is harder than the knife that you're trying to sharpen. And then you have the sharpener, and you have this piece of iron, and you have this piece of iron. But folks, if this one sets over here and this one sets over here, then that one is never going to get any sharper than it is. Let me give you the first point. Sharpening requires interaction. It requires interaction. What do you mean? I mean this. Two pieces of iron must meet and it properly interact in order for this blade to be as sharp as it can be. And you know what? I'm not talking about just meet one time and do this and say, okay, I'm good. That's a sharp knife. That's not a sharp knife. It's not a sharp knife unless this process is repeated over and over and over again. And so let me just tell you this. I want to encourage you to have interaction with the type of people and type of things that will keep you sharp as a Christian. First of all, man, let's interact with God. I mean, let's interact with God. You say, preacher, he's always there. Yes, he is. He is. Preacher, he's omnipresent. Yep. That doesn't mean you're interacting with him. Preacher, he's with me all the time. He promised. That doesn't mean you're interacting with him. Okay, you know, when you interact, when you begin to commune with him, when you begin to pray to him, when you begin to listen to the voice of the Spirit of God, and that interaction between God and you is what starts sharpening you as a Christian. Folks, we need our time of prayer, and we need our time of Bible every single day. That's time that we are drug across that sharpening stone, and every single time we make a pass across that sharpening stone. You know, folks, I was sitting there thinking, and I don't know why this came to mind, but as we were closing out communion, I sat there and did a quick math. And I've been in churches where they do it 6 times a year. I've been in churches where they do it 12 times a year, communion. And I don't know for sure, but, you know, I thought, you know, I've been saved for over 50 years. And even if I average 10, let's just say 10 times a year, you know, I've taken communion 500 times. You say, preacher, why? Why not God just say, why don't we do it just once a year? Why don't we just do it once every 5 years? It's the same reason, you know why? Because we need this interaction. We just need to do the same thing over and over. You know what, folks? Sunday school is still important. Don't check out of Sunday school. I want to say this to the good, faithful Sunday night crowd. Be careful, be careful, be careful that all of a sudden, somewhere along the way, you decided that you've outgrown Sunday school. Okay? Mrs. Ali comes to Sunday school, okay? So as soon as she can quit, then you can quit. But I don't mean as soon as she can quit, you can quit. As soon as you get to the age she is when she quits, then you can quit. You know what? We all need Sunday school. Hey, Sunday morning is important. And Sunday night church is important. Wednesday night, what is that, preacher? That's just dragging the iron across. You know what? Things that keep me sharp. Church keeps me sharp. Interacting with God's people, the preaching of God's word, all these things keep me sharp. And so I would encourage you just to be faithful. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Interact with God, interact with God's word, interact with godly men and godly women. I like Jeremiah chapter 5. I go back and read it often. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof. If you can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, then I will pardon it. And though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Now, folks, let me just say this. That's not the crowd you want to be around. That's the crowd that's going to dull you. That's not the crowd that's going to sharpen you. And by the way, that crowd, the Bible says, knows how to talk the talk. And though they say the Lord liveth, yeah, they're real good at talking about the Lord and Jesus. But if you look at their life, you know what? They're anything but close to the Lord and obedient to the scriptures. If you hang around people like that, you're going to get dull. You know, one of the reasons we need to go to church is, even though we don't intend to, just going out and spending a week in the workaday world, folks, I'm telling you, interaction with people that don't love God and sometimes blaspheme God, and it, you know, I need to come back to church, get an edge put back on, you know. And but the Bible, he went on to say this. He said, I will get me unto the great men and will speak unto them, for they have known the ways of the Lord. And so what I want to do is I want to interact with people that love God. I want to interact with people that are trying. Listen, I'm not talking about perfect people. There's no perfect people, but they're trying to serve the Lord, and they're trying to live for God, and they're trying to be faithful. And you know what? As they try and I try, we encourage each other, and I love that. Get to the great men, folks. Get to the great men. You know what? You spend some time with D.L. Moody, he'll sharpen you. Can I encourage you to read? You know, I have Brother Larry Harrison come by about twice a year, and, you know, he loves coming here, and I want to say, brag on you a little bit. He said Blessed Hope's one of the best churches when it comes to going back and buying books. But, folks, we don't buy books just so we just have this nice collection on a bookshelf. You know, interact with that. You know, if I said, folks, a miracle, God performs a miracle, and don't ask me how. I'm just telling you it's going to happen, but you know what? 2 weeks from today, D.L. Moody's going to stand in this pulpit and preach, and God's sending him back. And if that was true and the word got out, folks, I'm telling you what, we'd have to put holes in the wall. We'd have to take the glass out for the people to hear outside. We'd have to take speakers and mount them because the crowd. But you realize that D.L. Moody, a lot of what he preached is in books, and we won't simply pick it up. And that's one of the frustration points with your preacher. How much reading do you do every single week? How much reading do you do? A lot more than you think. And a lot of it is tied, again, to these silly devices. And I just don't understand Christians that want to spend their life reading a bunch of foolishness and you know, the babblings of simpletons. And people that aren't even saved, people that are backslidden, and boy, you can't wait to follow them. And everything they post, you read it. And yet, we have access to iron that would sharpen iron if we would just interact with it. Charles Spurgeon, he'll sharpen you. D.L. Moody said this, God commands us to be filled with the Spirit. Listen, and if we are not filled, it is because we are living beneath our privileges. And I read something like that, that sharpens me, it challenges me. I mean, if I didn't live today filled with the Spirit of God, I'm living below my privileges because it's available and the Spirit wants to fill me. Man, that brings conviction. That makes me want to be better for the Lord. Charles Spurgeon said, have you no wish? I love this. Boy, you talk about convicting. I wrote this down, read it the other day. Have you no wish for others to be saved? Question mark. Then you are not saved yourself. Be sure of that. Well, how dare he? He's judging. He's Charles Spurgeon. I think he can get by with it. Amen. If these men of God that have lived their lives in this book and they say something that powerful, instead of just throwing it over your shoulder and becoming critical of what he said, maybe you better examine your heart. Because I will say this, if you have no wish, no desire to see anybody saved, then that's part of what comes with being saved. You know how I know when a person usually, I mean, one of the evidences that I see in somebody that makes a profession of faith and it's real is almost immediately they start talking to me about, well, what about my husband? What about my wife? My mom and dad, my children aren't saved. The bus kids come and say, preacher, will you come visit my mom, my dad? I've been praying for them. Listen, if you don't have any of that, I mean, you know, here's another fall program. And what's the preacher want us to do again? Oh, brother. Oh, well. And you never invite a person to church. You don't care. You don't care if your neighbor to your left or your right burns in hell tomorrow. I mean, honestly, you would say you do, but what's your actions say? Then are you saved? Are you saved? And I mean, I love to see. Why bring that up? Because, that's hard. You say, preacher, that's hard. I know it takes hard things to sharpen you. All right, how about this? Charles Spurgeon also said this, our best performances. How about this? You want to keep humble? Our best performances are so stained with sin that it's hard to know whether they are good works or bad works. Ooh, amen. I keep you humble. How about Murray McShane? I read this just the other day. If I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies. Yet distance makes no difference. He is praying for me. Ooh, how about that? Harry Ironside said this, pride is a barrier to all spiritual progress. Pride is a barrier to all spiritual progress. John Bunyan, boy, read John Bunyan. He wrote this, you can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. You can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you've prayed. Andrew Murray, who wrote so many books on prayer, and I would just recommend him. I'm going to tell you, it'll sharpen your prayer life. Find one book about from Andrew Murray and read it, and I promise you, your prayer life will get sharpened up. He said this, the coming of a great revival must begin with a great revival of prayer. It is in the closet with the door shut that the sound of abundance of rain will first be heard. Isn't that good? Vance Havner. How about Vance Havner? I'm going to tell you something. I found an LP record, and I bought it, of Vance Havner preaching. I've listened to the message on one side, and the message on side A, and the message on side B, for you that know about LP records. I go in the shop, and I just listen to that old man's voice, and I listen to him preach on the subject of revival, and I found myself on my knees in my shop. You know what? What did he do? He sharpened me. He said this, some missionaries bound for Africa, this is a story he told, some missionaries bound for Africa were laughed at by the boat captain. You'll die over there, he said. But one of the missionaries replied, Captain, we died before we started. Ooh, come on now, what are you talking about? I'm talking about what are you going to do this week that's going to sharpen you, make you better for the Lord, okay? And so sharpening requires interaction but it also, I'm going to give you this thought, sharpening also requires friction. Now, folks, part of the interaction, the reason we have interaction is because you say, why has this become sharpened? Because the interaction of these two caused friction. It caused some friction, okay? Now, you must come into contact with something harder than the knife. This knife is going to be made sharper unless we come up to something that's harder than the knife. I can always make myself feel good about myself if I only come in contact with people and things less hardened than I am. Less hard. Well, that old preacher's just a hard preacher. Then you ought to go listen to him as much as possible. That old man's just got a hard streak to him. Then go hang out with him a little bit. Go hang out with him a little bit. All right? Listen, you can't sharpen a knife on marshmallows. And that's what we're doing. We're spending our time with a bunch of spiritual marshmallows. Not only are we not becoming sharper, but we're getting really gooey. Nowhere else to take that, amen. Why do you want to spend time with God? Folks, listen to me. You know why you want to spend time with God? Because he doesn't give. You might get some other compromisers to hang out. You can hang around. They'll help you compromise. You hang around with God, he don't compromise. You know, that's why sometimes a preacher just gets frustrated with, hey, don't tell me about it. Go tell God about it. Don't tell me about it. Go tell God about it. Why do you want to come explain it away to me? Why don't you go explain it away to him? Okay? The Holy Spirit of God, can I say this? I thank God for the divine comforter. I thank God for everything he does in my life. But I'm going to tell you something. He's harder than me. And I want to spend some time with him. I want to interact with him. You know what? If you spend time with real friends, they will tell you the truth. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Problem is, we want to hang around people that make us feel good about ourselves. Okay? What we ought to do is try to find some people that make us feel a little bad about ourselves. I'm trying to help you. Okay? We just want to be where we're at and gather a group of people around us that sits there and aren't we wonderful? And aren't we? And none of us have arrived. And the only way I can be better and the only way I can be sharper is to come in contact with something a little harder than me. I've said this from the pulpit. I've had four pastors in my life, four different men that I sat under as my pastor. I want to say this. All of them loved me, but none of them were afraid of me. If I was in a church where I felt like the preacher was afraid to say what I needed to hear, tiptoed around things, I'd go find another church. Because you're never going to get sharp at a church like that, all right? So faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Men, come on, men, let me talk to you. Men in this culture are too easily offended. Too easily offended. Okay? Good night. Every once in a while you need somebody just look at you and be shotgun straight and tell you what you need to hear. And you can dance around it, go home and make that person into a bad person or rationalize why what they said. Or you might just let it sharpen you. You might just let it sharpen you, okay? You don't need to find a church where there's soft preaching. You need to come to a church where there's some hard preaching. It's the only way that you're going to get sharpened, okay? And so, it must. And by the way, this interaction causes friction sometimes. You know what? If I do this several times in a row, and then you know what I do? I touch that blade right there. It's warming up. I feel a little heat going on. You know what? I tell this story from time to time, but Bill English was living in an apartment down at Uncle John's. And Uncle John was a man that came to First Baptist Church. He was a businessman. And I was at the end of my freshman year, and one of my school bills came due and I didn't have the money, and it was a Thursday. I was going to get paid Friday night. I got financially withdrawal for 2 days from school. And so I thought, I'll go down and see Bill. So I drove down to see Bill, and I'd never met Uncle John before. I'm going to tell you a story. You need to listen to it. And so here I am, 18 years old, still trying to figure out everything. You know all about life while you're living at home and mom and dad are protecting you from everything. But, you know, hey, I want my freedom. Oh, boy, I can't wait for some of you to get it. Amen. I'd like to see some parents actually give it to them. Amen. I got financially withdrawn from Bible college. Well, I can't go to classes the next 2 days, but I'll get paid Friday, and then I'll be back in on Monday. And so I'll go down. I got to do something. So I'll go down and visit Bill. And Uncle John comes out. And Bill introduces me. I'm Jerry Ross. he looks at me and he said, so you go to First Baptist? I said, yeah. He said, are you in Bible college? I said, yeah. And he said, well, why aren't you in class? And I said, well, you know, I'm going to get paid tomorrow night, and I got financial withdrawn. And he said, wait, what? I got financial withdrawn, so I'm going to get paid tomorrow night. I had to miss a couple of days. And he said, are you called to preach? And I said, well, yeah. And he said, do you hope to pastor one of these days? And I said, well, maybe. And he said, well, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to go back to the house. I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to ask God to never let you pastor a church. And I'm thinking, who is this guy? I'll tell you who he is. He's somebody that's about to help me if I let him.
Right.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Now, I could have thrown a fit. I could have been a little Nancy.
Right.
I could have been a millennialist before they had millennialists. I could have said, well, who do you think you are? You don't know me. You don't know me. You don't know me. Like a bunch of little idiots, 16, 17, 18-year-olds are walking around saying, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. They don't know me. You don't know me. And you know what? I'm sitting there and I said, okay, I had to make a choice. Young man, somebody starts getting your face like that, you got to make a choice. So I looked at him. By the way, he owned a really nice place. He owned a lot of acreage. He had a successful business. I wouldn't be surprised if he wasn't a millionaire. You think so? Did he give you any of it? Didn't give me any of it either. You know what? I kind of looked around. I thought, well, I can get mad. Now listen, I'm going to help you right now. I can get mad or I can learn something. And I said, okay, what am I doing wrong? And you know what? Be careful about asking that to an old guy because he's going to tell you. I said, honestly, I'm all ears. And he proceeded to tell me. He said, how in the world could an able-bodied 18-year-old man not have the money to pay his bills?
Right.
He said, son, I'm just going to tell you something, and you can do it or don't do it. But he said, it's about 20 miles between here and the college. You could get in that car that you're in, and you could drive slowly, and instead of looking at some place to spend your money or pulling into a drive-thru to get something to eat, you could look at every business that you pass and ask yourself a question. What could I offer that person today? What can I go in and talk to that owner today? What is a need that I see that he has that I could go and offer my services to? And he said, just tell him. Find some business, find some motel whose the windows need washed. Find some store that the weeds need pulled. He said, if you wanted to, by the time you left here and got back to college and you'd roll up your sleeves and work 3 or 4 hours, you could have the money to be back in school tomorrow. That's what he told me. So you know what I did? I got in my car, and I drove real slow, and I pulled into one business, worked there for about an hour and a half, washing all the windows. I pulled in the next business, cut down some weeds, took care of some odd jobs for him, and I went into the business office when I got to college with enough cash to pay my bill. Now, listen, here's the problem. Listen to me. Here's the problem. I'm just going to tell you as a preacher, I'm sick and tired of having to tiptoe around things because we have people that are so hypersensitive, bunch of babies, okay, that you're failing in so many areas of life, and somebody who could help you, I can't because your feelings are so much more important than you becoming a success for the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I mean, you know what? If this whole thing dwindles down to where we got 5 people in, I'm not changing the way I preach, and I'm not going to change the way. Listen, I'm for loving people, but I'm also for helping people. Okay, and I'm sick of watching people walk out the door and go to some little liberal church, and they're a mess spiritually, and that man will never help them get out of a mess. You've got to be willing to hear some hard things. And you know what? It causes a little heat, causes a little friction. Me and Uncle John was having a little friction there for a minute. But you know what I did? I listened to the man, and you know what? Ever since then, I've been wiser. And I want to say this today. You know what? At 58 years of age, if I needed a couple extra $100, I could get it in a day. I said I could get it in a day. You know why? Because I listened to Uncle John. That's why I don't have much patience with people walking around talking about, well, I just can't, I just can't, I just can't, I just can't. You know, go talk to Dennis Scales. I keep saying that. I love what this guy's done, man. In fact, I'm thinking about going into competition with him and see if I can get me a trailer and go over there and just for fun, one summer, we could have like a, you know, see who did the best. And I'll send some of the members to buy from him, and then you come back and tell me, and I'll undercut his prices, all right, and try to take. No, I love it. I love it. You know, come on. Well, I just don't have an education. I just don't have a degree. Do you have a backbone? Do you have any gray matter between your head? Do you have some get up and go? Okay, do you have an alarm clock? Come on now. That's right. That's right. Man, I'm getting back to my Labor Day sermon here, but I get fired up about this. Come on. You know, 20-year-olds walking around, just, you know, I mean, 20-year-olds still go to mommy when they need money. Are you serious? I needed that. I needed Uncle John. You know what happened that day? Here's a man that was a lot harder than me, and you know what I did? I just said, okay, sharpen me up. Just sharpen me up. All right, I'll take it. I'll take it. Not necessarily fun, but I'm listening. Help me. Help me. Help me. All right, that's how you become sharper. And so sharpening requires interaction. Sharpening requires friction. And let me say this last thing. Sharpening requires removal. You see, folks, there's things that are keeping this knife from being sharp, and it's the little burrs. It's the little nicks. It's the little imperfections. And one of the things about sharpening, what that does is that just takes all of that off there. Now, if I weighed this knife, and I mean I had a way to weigh this knife down to where minute, okay, and then I gave it a good sharpening and I weighed it, it would weigh less than when before I sharpened it. You know why? Because real sharpening always takes something away. Burrs are removed. Uneven edges are filed away. The knife blade takes on a straight, reliable, consistent, razor-sharp edge. Could this be maybe our prayer? Could this be our prayer? Lord, please, Lord, whittle me down. Whittle me down. You say, preacher, you think we're helped when we become less? I don't know. Ask John the Baptist. He said this. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. Perhaps we should whisper this prayer maybe about 100 times tomorrow. Here's the prayer. Less of me, more of thee. Less of me, more of thee. Less of me, more of thee. See, sharpening is worth it, folks, because it results in some very positive things. There's a renewed usability when you sharpen a knife. You see, if I've got a sharp knife and I've got two or three dull knives, when I got a job I want to do, I'm going to reach for the sharpest knife. I just don't know why the Lord doesn't use me more. I don't know either. Maybe he's reaching past you to get a sharper knife. I just don't know why I don't have more opportunities. I don't know either. Maybe he's reaching past you to get a sharper knife. A renewed usability, a renewed purpose. Watch this, a renewed effectiveness. I'll go back and borrow what Brother Josh used as a verse, Ecclesiastes 10:10. If the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. I want to bring this message to you tonight and just ask you, who are you hanging around? Okay, who are you interacting with? Okay, check out of the Marshmallow Club. They're not doing you any good. All right? Don't get mad at hard preaching. That doesn't do you any good. Okay? Go talk to some men that are hard enough to look your situation over and then give you the shotgun straight truth about it. And then don't walk away and make them a bad person. Listen to them, okay? Because every single one of us need to be sharpened. You don't just sharpen a knife once and that's the end of it. This knife needs to be sharpened and sharpened and sharpened. I'll close with this. My dad had an old hunting knife that he'd used and used and used. I noticed one day that the blade had become really thin, and it used to be about this wide, and it was down to about half the width. And I asked him, I said, Dad, that over the years, that old knife, that's not how I remember it. And he said, "Well, Jerry, you know, in order to keep it usable," he said, "I got to take it, and I got to put an edge on it." And there's been a few times it's been nicked up so bad. Come on, now listen to it. That he said, "I've taken it to the grinder, and I've had to grind it down and put a whole new bevel on it." But he said, "You know what? Still my favorite knife." You know why? Because it's willing to take an edge. And you know what? I hope when I get to heaven, I don't want to look, listen, I don't want to look shiny and new. I don't want to be what I was when I started. Okay? I want there to be less of me and more of him. And I hope maybe when the Lord sees me coming through the pearly gates, he'll say, "Hey, comes one of my favorite knives. He's beat up a little bit. But you know what? He's always willing to take an edge." Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. Help us to get around you more. Help us to spend more time in your word. Help us to allow the word of God to knock off those burrs and our blunt ineffectiveness. Help us not to run from the hard things. Even the hard things you bring into our lives, help us to understand that that's what it takes to get sharp sometimes. So, Lord, I pray that you'll help us. Lord, this verse talks about friendship and true friends. And Lord, I pray that we would, especially, I want to just challenge the men of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, ladies too, that we would be the kind of Christian that when people interact with us, we'd help them, we'd help sharpen them, we'd make them better for you. They'd hear the truth. Yes, the truth in love, and the truth in kindness, but the truth. I pray, Lord, that you'll help all of us to be much more than we are for you. Sharper, sharper. By next Sunday, help us to be sharper than we are this Sunday. I pray these things in Jesus' name.